Welcome to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network. The Winn-Dixie Postgame Show is brought to you by Baptist Health, Wachovia, Ticket Exchange, Brooks Rehabilitation, and by Community First Credit Union. Now, to get things started, here's Sam Jordan.
All right, well, this isn't the way Jack Del Rio and Wayne Weaver envisioned the home opener going. 31-17, the Cardinals beat the Jaguars. They were up 24-3 at the half. Now, the Jags did outscore Arizona 14-7 in the second half, but still a very ugly first two quarters. You could argue three quarters of football from the Jaguars. Lots to talk about, though, in this Winn-Dixie postgame show. Before we send it back up to the booth, Marco Coleman joins me, fresh from his halftime appearance with the Jaguars alumni. How'd that go, by the way?
Oh, it went good. It went really well. Very well received. You know, everyone enjoyed it. You know, I enjoyed it, so... You know, that was good, but it would have been a lot better if the team could have, you know, came out and played a lot better.
All right. Well, where do you begin with the analysis? So many things went wrong today, especially in that first half. Kurt Warner was just dinking and dunking all over the place and set an NFL record, a 92% completion rate. But when you begin to break down this game, number one, what's the first thing you're going to point at?
Playing with a chip on your shoulder. Arizona came into this game upset. Here we are. We went to the Super Bowl, lost our first game. We got to show the world something. But here in Jacksonville, here it is. We can't get a lot of attendance. The Jaguars had a lot of incentive to come in with a very serious attitude. I don't think they came in. Arizona just flat out wanted the game more than the Jaguars did.
Before we rehash everything, one of the later plays there, twice they went to Nate Hughes in the end zone, and you were surprised by that. You don't like that call going to the rookie?
Not at all. I mean, here it is. The game's on the line. You got Torrey Holt. This guy's been in Pro Bowls. He's been in Super Bowls. He's been in the big games. He's going to do the things possible to give you a chance to win a football game. But here it is. We go to a guy who barely made the team. It was a question whether he's even going to make the team or not, and you give him two opportunities to try to win the game, and you don't look at Torrey Holt. You got a superstar player, a guy that will potentially go to the Football Hall of Fame, and you don't give him a chance to win the game.
And why is that? Why do you think they?
I have absolutely no idea. I mean, I don't know.
I mean, maybe it's David's call.
We'll see David a little later on. I'll ask him.
Yeah, he did have time to look around. He started getting better pass protection today than he did against the Colts last week.
I would agree. He had some opportunities where he had all day to throw the ball and still underthrew and misfired. So, it's unlike David. We definitely want to find out. We get a chance, hopefully, to talk to him a little later and see exactly why we went this direction.
Here's his numbers on the day. 23 for 43, 53% completion, about as what he did last week. 282 yards, a lot of those coming in the second half. Two touchdowns, one interception late there. But Kurt Warner, 24 of 26. I believe he was 15 for his first 15, 243, and his longest pass, though, just 22 yards, two touchdowns, no interceptions, quarterback rating 131. What were they doing? What were the Cardinals doing with that short game that the Jaguars just couldn't stop?
Well, just taking what they give them. You know, when you're running certain type of blitzes trying to get the pressure, then you leave holes, you know, and what it was they were able to, one, pick up the blitzes to allow Kurt Warner to see, okay, those deep routes aren't there, but here's the hole, boom. And he found all those open spaces. But fortunately, we came up and made the tackles. You know, when you do those blitzes, a lot of times you have instances where you're gonna leave yourself vulnerable to a pass play. And Kurt Warner found those vulnerable spots, made those pass plays, and the best you can do as defense is come up and make the tackle, which they did. But the thing with the blitz is you got to get home. You got to get the quarterback on the ground, and they weren't able to do it.
So is it more credit to the Cardinals' offense, this proficient NFC champion offense that almost won a Super Bowl, or did you see some flaws in the Jaguars' defense or maybe even defensive schemes today that you want to place the blame on?
Just want to. You know what I mean? When you call those blitzes, now what you have is all one-on-one blocks, okay? It was 6-on-6 or 5-on-5 in a lot of instances, and guys just didn't win. You got to win, and that's what the blitzes are called. So they let the defensive coordinator down, actually, by him calling your number, sending you on a blitz, and you not winning your individual battle.
So you were okay with the defensive scheme that you saw from what you could see?
Yeah, I think they were just late. You know, I mean, these guys were just a step late, or they beat the guy a little too late. They got to beat him faster. You know, like I said, when you do blitz, which, you know, I guess I can understand them wanting to bring the heat because Kurt Warner can't move and things of that nature. Matter of fact, we flushed him and still didn't make anything happen. But when it happens, as a defense, you guys got to make a play. You got to come up with a play.
Did you see any lack of effort or energy on that Antrell roll touchdown on the block field goal where that play just seemed to take forever? He almost made a circle, a C route to the end zone, but I don't know if it's just me seeing things from the TV side or you were actually, you know, had your eyes up on the press box. But was there a lack of energy or effort there on that play?
I tell you, man, I was actually in the terrace suite when this happened, and I had a plate, and I think I saw that it was running, but I threw my plate up in the darn because I was hot, so I didn't get to see all the actual effort on the deal.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure it took the air out of the whole team, now, the whole stadium, everybody in Jacksonville. That play. You just punctured a tire and all the air came out. So I would imagine that you probably did have some guys that just shut it down. I didn't see anyone in particular, but I could imagine that happening.
And then the penalty on Josh Scobie taking off his helmet there. He's a fiery guy. He's a kicker, but he gets into it. He's knocked several players, you know, out of bounds before he makes tackles.
We got to spread the darn punter. If he's playing with a chip on his shoulder, we need the offensive line, defensive line, the rest of the team to play with the passion of the punter. How about that?
did you see any progress today on the offensive line with the rookies? How about Eugene Monroe? He gave up one easy sack I saw to Berry, Bertrand Berry there in the third quarter. But do you think they improved at all this week?
I think they did. What they did was they did a better job of setting up the protection, and they provided with more help. You know, those times when David had the most time is when they kind of max protected, which created more time. So,
all right, Mark, I'm going to stop you there. We'll talk about this lots more in the next couple hours. Right now, back up to the booth and Brian Sexton.
All right, thank you very much, guys. We'll catch back up with you shortly. First, though, we've got some things to do in the locker room. We're waiting on the first word with head coach Jack Del Rio in the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report. We'll also try to get the injury update on Troy Williamson with the Brooks Rehabilitation Injury Update. Much more to come with that. Also, we'll go through the numbers again for you, all of them brought to you by Wachovia, a Wells Fargo company. Wachovia is with you when you want a little extra help saving. With the Way to Save program in your pocket, saving money is easy and automatic. Just call, click, or stop by to learn more. You know, this is a case today where you can look at the numbers any way you want. All right, with Kurt Warner, 24 of 26, 92.3% completion, an NFL record. Absolutely, those stats tell you the story. He threw two touchdowns. His passer rating was 131.2. He wasn't sacked all day, and he's not a real mobile guy. All right, so that number matters. David, however, was 23 of 43, 53%, 282 yards, two touchdowns, one interception, quarterback rating 79.8. But he did not look sharp today. Early on third and two, down inside the red zone, threw the ball almost to Mike Walker's knees, and Walker, as a result, had to adjust to the ball by the time he stood up. Cardinals read it. Jaguars could not capitalize. In fact, if the Cardinals had not gotten such a big lead and backed off, as Jeff pointed out throughout the course of the fourth quarter, David doesn't have numbers nearly this good. Not a sharp day for the Jaguars quarterback. The running game never really got going, and how could you expect that it would when all of a sudden you find yourself in a big hole? Jaguars' leading rusher was Maurice Drew, 13 carries, averaged 5.1 per carry for a total of 66 yards. Tim Hightower led the way for the Cardinals. He had 15 carries for 72. Beanie Wells looked good. The rookie from Ohio State had 7 for 44, averaged 6.3 per carry today. Leading receiver for the Jaguars, Mike Sims-Walker, second 100-yard game of his career, also had his first touchdown. Let's go down and check in with Jack Del Rio, who is standing with Jeff Lagerman.
Thank you, Brian. And, Jack, never easy, but the game seemed to change anyway when on the punt where you guys got the ball back, had great field position, but then you lost yardage and then the field goal try and the field goal gets blocked, and that it really seemed to change everything about the game at that point.
Well, it was certainly a pivotal point in the game, without question. You know, you had a chance right there to go down and get points yourself. You know, it was a blatant no call there on a PI that should have been first down about the 15, 20-yard line. Instead, we're trying a field goal attempt, and then we not only we not get the three, we get it blocked, and it gets returned for a touchdown. So that's a heck of a swing. That's basically a 14-point swing, 10, any way you look at it, it's a big swing. And that was a difference early in the game. I don't feel like that was the game, but that certainly was going to make things difficult to overcome. And it just wasn't sharp anywhere to my satisfaction.
I think what you're referring to, there were some penalties, and I think penalties are certainly, there's some that are physical and there are some that are mental, the false starts, et cetera, taking the helmet off, those kind of things. So I think when you have mental breakdowns like that, certainly it makes it tough to win in any game.
Yeah, and they came in a clump. You know, we end up with eight, they had seven, but ours came in a clump. We had, you know, during that particular time in the ball game, I think the ensuing kickoff was when we had back-to-back offensive false starts, whatever it was. And so it just got ugly. We had an ugly spurt there that put us in a big hole.
Where do you go from here? What do you say to your team to get past this moment and move forward to get better?
Well, I mean, look, losing hurts. I mean, we all feel that. We very much wanted to come out here and play well in front of the faithful that showed up. We got to come back to work. That's what we got to do. We'll come back tomorrow. We'll take a good critical look at the game. We'll make our corrections, and we'll go forward. And as I explained to them, you know, Tennessee and Houston are playing today. One of them is going to be 0-2 just like us. And it's a long season. We just need to really tune out, turn off our ears and go to work.
All right. Thank you, Jack.
Okay, Jeff.
All right. That's the Bubba Burgers Coaches Report with head coach Jack Del Rio. We'll take a break. Come back with more of the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show. Jaguars fall 31-17 in their home opener. We go back to the the locker room, where Jeff Loggeman is standing by.
Hi, Brian, here with Mercedes Lewis. And Mercedes, certainly anytime you have a young team in your first game at home, you want to have a pretty solid outing. And obviously some disappointment is in this locker room. How do you summarize how you guys feel, first off, as a team?
You know what? I'm kind of lost for words because we put in so much work. You know, everybody made a commitment, stay here spring, summer. And it just sucks that, you know, we don't really have anything to show for it right now. You know, so the only thing we can do is get back to work, you know, and try to get that first win.
Head coach talked about penalties that were really mental errors, you know, some false starts defensively, line up offsides. Scobie's taking his helmet off. Had opportunities of getting fumbles, so certainly some things that you can control, those mental penalties or the mental errors.
Definitely. I think whenever things seem like they're not going your way, we have to eliminate things that shoot ourselves in the foot. You know what I mean? We have to be on our best so that when the things don't go our way, it kind of nullifies itself because we're doing everything that we're supposed to do to, you know, help ourselves win as opposed to do things to, you know, give us negative plays.
Head coach, obviously not very happy after the game. Took a moment to compose himself. What was his general message to you guys?
Man, it sucks because I hate seeing him like that. You know what I mean? Like we work so hard and want to do the best at our job so that he can have a smile on his face, let alone us. You know what I mean? His general message was just, you know, we've worked hard. You know, we put the work in. You know, we have to trust and believe in ourselves to go out there and get it done every Sunday.
All right, thank you, Mercedes.
Appreciate it.
That's Jaguars tight end Mercedes Lewis, who dropped what appeared to be a magnificent catch on the opening play of the ball game for the Jaguars offense, but finished with three good catches for 62 yards, including a 25-yard touchdown in which he broke a tackle and then made a move to the inside, outran a defender, and dove for the pylon to get to the end zone. Leading receiver for the Jaguars, Mike Sims-Walker, 6-for-106 in his first NFL touchdown. Torrey Holt was productive today, 6 catches for 65 yards. Maurice had 4 for 17, just mentioned Mercedes. Troy Williamson had 2 for 24, but on that second catch was injured, left the game, didn't return. And we go check in with Mike Walker, who joins Jeff Loggeman right now.
Thank you, Brian, here with Mike Sims-Walker. And Mike, obviously, late in the game, you ended up with a lot of catches. But how do you guys kind of get the offense going early in that ball game to have the wide receivers and the offense productive early?
And we just got to start fast, man. We got to eliminate a lot of mistakes. And a lot of them are our fault. We jumping off sides, illegal motions, just something that's our fault. It's nothing the defense is doing. And, you know, we got to go in and work. And the first thing we need to do is just eliminate those mistakes mentally.
Yeah, and Jack had talked about that to me in his postgame interview. How do you get to pressure, you know, on the guys around on that offensive unit and say, hey, okay, you know, let's take care of this ourselves? I mean, because, you know, guys, it's not a real big veteran presence on that offense.
Not any pressure, man. I mean, we all get paid out here to do our job, and that's what we got to do. We got to do our job and be on the same page. There's no pressure. Everybody get paid. Everybody practice hard and work hard, and it'll come together.
Right, thank you, Mike.
Yeah, thank you.
Second 100-yard game for Mike Sims-Walker. He had 6 for 106 last year against Pittsburgh. First NFL touchdown. He, by the way, is our Justex MVP of the ball game, and Jeff will be handing him a Justex watch. You can get yours exclusively at Espeline Jewelers. They're in Ponte Vedra, Mandarin, the South Side in Fruit Cove. Mike is also the O'Reilly Auto Parts Offensive Player of the Game, and O'Reilly Auto Parts will be making a donation to the Jack Del Rio Foundation in Mike's name. Take a break and return. More Winn-Dixie post-game show after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. One more time to the locker room where Jeff Loggins is standing by with Rasheen Mathis here on the Winn-Dixie post-game show. Jeff?
All right, thank you, Brian, and here with Rasheen. And Rasheen, obviously a big challenge going up against Larry Fitzgerald. You guys did a pretty good job on him. He had only four catches for 34 yards. He had a touchdown late, of course. It's a little different approach on him, isn't it, because you got to flip sides for the first time this year.
Yeah. I'm used to it. Did it a lot last year as well on some of the receivers before I got injured. But, it's a good feel. It gets you really mentally prepared because you have one guy to focus on and not too much else. Like, your job is to win your one-on-one matchup, and that's what we try to do as a ball club.
Kurt Warner, I don't know if it's going to be set or not, but, I mean, I think he approached possibly a single-game record in completion percentage, and he was hot. What do you guys have to do as a defense to slow him, a quarterback like that, down?
Well, he was checking the ball down a lot. And when he's getting the ball to his backs and underneath guys when we're playing certain coverages, that's where we want the ball to go. And we just have to tackle better. The run after catches, I'm sure it's a lot more than what we wanted to give up today. So that's the big picture, like better tackling.
Head coach talked about mental errors, which some of them were penalties in case of false starts or things of that nature. As a veteran guy on this football team, how do you get the guys to stop making those kind of mistakes?
Well, just knowing your job, and this game is probably 80% mental. It's probably 80% mental because we all have the physical ability to go out there and play. So the guy across from you is not going to be too much better than you. So if you're in it mentally, you'll have a great chance of winning your battle. But when you're not in it mentally and you're trying to remember the plays and not doing everything right, then that's when the mental errors come in. So we can't have that as a ball club, and it's going to hurt any ball club, not just ours.
All right, thank you, Rasheen.
Thank you.
All right, one more thing, Loggy. The injury report from Brooks Rehabilitation, any word at all on Troy Williamson's shoulder?
Just the shoulder injury. They haven't said any indication as far as severity. You know how that works in the NFL. But shoulder injury. And the one thing that I could tell certainly from the booth was they were checking to see if it was out.
Okay. So that'll be something we'll follow all week long. Thanks for your work, Loggy. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Brian.
That's Jeff Loggeman with the injury report brought to you by Brooks Rehabilitation. Time now for the Bud Play of the Game brought to you by Bud Light. The difference is drinkability, and this one was pretty easy. Fourth quarter, Jaguars trailing, trying to make up some ground, trying to see if they could make something happen. Mike Sims-Walker certainly did. David on 4th and 10, stands, turns, throws. He's got a man. It's caught. Mike Walker, he's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville. First NFL touchdown for Mike Walker. 6 catches, 106 yards for him, and he made a couple of big plays in the fourth quarter. You got to take it with a grain of salt because the Cardinals were playing off, but good to see that young man get things started. Remember now, came here as a third-round pick and struggled with injuries. In fact, weren't sure he was going to make the team when he didn't play all preseason long, and then finally got into the ballgame against the Redskins, made some things happen, secured his roster spot, and the Jaguars need him to do more than that. Again, Bud Play of the Game brought to you by Bud Light. The difference is drinkability. Much more to come here on the Winn-Dixie post-game show. Marco and Sam, we'll take your calls, questions, and comments, go through the numbers, more interviews. Jaguars fall to the Cardinals 31-17 in their home opener, and to Houston next week to take on a Houston team that beat the Titans today 34-31. So the frying pan and the fire are both equally hot at this point for Jack Del Rio's young football team. For Scott Kushner, for Jeff Loggeman, for Joe Fortunato, we will send it back downstairs to the guys in Jaguars Central. Final score for the final time from the booth, 31-17. You're listening to Jaguars Football on Jaguars Radio.
And welcome everyone back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan and Marco Coleman talking about a Jaguars loss to the Cardinals 31-17 on the 2009 home opener. And Marco, we touched on it a few minutes ago. A lot of places you can go if you want to criticize, if you want to point fingers. But, you know, Jack Del Rio, we saw him on the podium. He says he's not ready to point fingers. And it's an 0-2 start, and it was a really bad first half. But a lot of teams have started off 0-2 and gone on to make the playoffs.
I know of one team that started off 0-4 and ended up going to the Super Bowl.
Who was that?
San Diego Chargers, when they went to the Super Bowl against the 49ers. And they got smashed, but they righted the ship to get to at least to the big game.
The Giants a couple of years ago, I think, had a real bad start, wound up beating the Patriots. So it's possible, but
tough to do.
You know, that moral victory from last week starting to look a little good now, isn't
nah,
it?
Man, it's looking a little bit better.
Come on, 14-12 as opposed to 31-17. But how about let's with some bright spots, okay? How about we touch on a couple of bright spots? And we heard Jeff talk to them in the locker room. Mercedes Lewis had that first drop in traffic, but then caught two balls that were in very similar situations later. And I think you got something today out of Mercedes Lewis that you'd like to see, you know, him expound on it in further games.
Yeah, I thought, you know, right there in the beginning of the season, when we were talking during training camp, how I felt that Mercedes Lewis had to be a very integral part of the passing game. And we saw how effective he can be today with the scores and those big catches. He's a big body. There's not too many linebackers that'll have the ability, or even safeties, because he's so tall, that'll be able to stay with him when you throw the ball up there. I think they have to get the ball to him. It's a safe throw a lot more consistently. A quick throw, also. You don't have to worry as much about the pass rush.
Now, those throws to him today, though, were a little deeper. They were of the 20, 25-yard route where he had to jump and, you know, do some acrobatics as opposed to the little, you know, 10-yard out, which is really what the Cardinals exploited today, although not really with their tight ends.
Yeah, I mean, but Mercedes is a fast guy. I mean, he got those long legs, and you figure he can gain, you know, 5 to 10 yards in a very quick, you know, very quickly. And by throwing it up in the air, just like David did, like I said, it takes advantage of his size over the guys, most of the guys that would be covering him. I think that's a good deal.
So what's the bigger issue right now for the Jaguars, offense or defense? Can you say offense because 12 points last week, 17 today, and 17, you know, very late? That's kind of not really indicative of how the offense was moving in the first half. Is the offense the issue?
I mean, I think it's more so just the attitude of the team. I think there's a little bit too comfortable in the way they're approaching the games. You know what I mean? I think there needs to be a lot more urgency as it pertains to them going out and playing. Because I saw today, to me, the energy level was more on the Arizona Cardinals side. They wanted the game more than we did. Like there was mentioned, the defense was actually, they didn't do bad because they came up in the most, for the most part, and made those tackles in the spots where that's all they could do was just make the tackle. But now when it comes to a pass rush, you against another person, you know, of comparable skill, now it's a matter of who wants it the most. And that's what it was. You know, going out to Kurt Warner with those blitzes, it's just, you know, one guy, you got to beat the guy that's in front of you. And they wanted to win more than we did, it seemed like today.
Now, when did you make that judgment call, though? Was it from the opening kick, or was it when the Cardinals were up 24-3, you know, midway through the second quarter?
Well, I kind of sensed it as the game went on. I mean, I was actually down on the sideline when the game started, and I saw us warming out, okay? And I saw the guys, you know, they were, I mean, it's, you know, pretty much normal, like this is a normal Sunday, you know what I mean, type of deal. But also I saw the Arizona Cardinals, and I saw a group of guys. It was Dockett, it was Fitzgerald, Anquan Boldin, another offensive lineman. I mean, everyone, they had their shirts rolled up. They had a snarl on their face. They had a look that I'm coming here to completely take this game. We are the biggest, baddest dudes in the city of Jacksonville right now, and we're going to show you. That was the way they were walking. They had that type of swagger when they were walking into the visiting locker room. I saw that. And, you know, and when you can see that and sense that, I know these guys were in for a tough game tonight.
And it turned into a 31-17 Cardinals win over the Jags. Hey, fans, visit your local Toyota dealer during Toyota's national clearance event. Toyota is moving forward. We'll come back with more of the Winn-Dixie postgame show right after this on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. To the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman talking about a 31-17 Jaguars loss and the home opener to the Cardinals. And we appreciate the breath of fresh air and cologne that's been brought into the studio because quarterback David Garrard joining us right now. David, tough game, but I really appreciate you coming in.
No problem. It was a tough game. I feel terrible right now. You know, just having that situation to open up the season at home here is – you know, it's a bad feeling, but you know, we got to get back to the drawing board and get one this weekend.
If you could break it down a little bit for us in the first three quarters, what was going wrong offensively?
We were stopping ourselves, whatever it was, whether it was penalties, whether it was putting the ball on the ground, drop passes, bad throws, whatever it was, we were stopping ourselves. They have a really good defense, but you know, we should have been able to do a little bit more moving the ball wise in those first three quarters.
In the latter part of the fourth quarter, he took two shots to Nate Hughes. Now you got Torrey Holt in the game. Mm-hmm. You know, you have Michael Seams Walker. why go at a rookie at that time when you need a play instead of one of those two guys?
Because you throw to the open guy. And, you know, if you start getting into the, I got to throw it to this guy no matter what, then you're going to beat yourself. And that he's getting paid to play receiver, you know, and I have a lot of confidence in Nate. So that wasn't like him to drop passes like that, to not come up with those balls. But, you know, you're human. Yeah, you're going to make mistakes.
I can understand. Well, it seems like you guys haven't gotten into a really good rhythm. You know, I mean, it's, you know, you show good, you look good at one minute, then another minute is not quite together. Mm-hmm. What is it going to take to get you guys in the type of rhythm? We've seen you be extremely efficient. Yeah. And we know you have the capability with the wide receivers, mm-hmm. running back, all the tools. What is it going to take for that rhythm to get together?
Well, I wish I had that answer. You know, we're out there working every day, all week long, trying to put together a great game plan, trying to execute the plays, which we have been. You know, if you see our practices, we're doing a great job of everything, you know. So I just think we have to be better, period, whatever it is. In the tough moments, in the moments when they're not so tough, but you just got to make a play, we just got to be better, period. And that's just everybody.
Two games in now, how did the rookies fare today on the offensive line? Any better than last week? Or
I thought so. I thought I had I thought I had plenty of time for the most part. There were some times, you know, where guys are going to get a little bit of a push on you, and you have to, as a quarterback, maybe make somebody miss, throw the ball away, whatever it is. And I thought just overall they did a good job, and I see them getting better and better each week. So I'm happy with the way they're progressing.
Yeah, we're talking with David Garrard on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. We saw a little bit of that frustration there on that last pass to Nate Hughes. You were on the ground. Your head went to the ground. And I'm wondering, did you talk at all to Nate, you know, in the huddle or after the game at all? Or?
Well, I talked to him on the sideline as soon as I got there because, I mean, he's human. You know how he feels. Mm-hmm. You know, so I'm talking to him saying, hey, we're going to get another opportunity. Be ready. I'm coming back to you. It doesn't matter. If you're on the field, I'm going to throw a ball to you if you're open. And that's just how you got to play. You can't think about, well, I got to get away from him now. He's not making catches. Then he really goes into the hole. He really starts tanking, and now he doesn't have any confidence. But, you know, if you come right back to him and he makes a play for you, then, okay, now, you know, because we still got a long season ahead of us. And so you can't have guys going to the tank, you know, game two.
Well, you know, Dave, I'm going to take you a little bit off the field right now. You mm-hmm. know, I mean, it was a crazy day today for sure.
Yeah.
Well, I know that you're extremely involved in the community. You do a lot of great things around here in Jacksonville. We haven't had the seats filled up the way we would love to, or would like mm-hmm. to, rather. But like I said, but you and a lot of guys are very involved in the community. Tell me about a little bit of the things that you have going on right now that is, you know, helping out the community and different activities.
Yeah. Well, I've been doing a little Twitter thing. You know, it's new. And
tweet.
Yeah, I'm trying to tweet a little bit. But I'm actually, it's called Making a Handoff.
Okay.
And each week, each home week, I will call, or I won't call, I'll tweet saying I'm at Publix. Okay. I'm getting gas, wherever it is. Meet me here if you want to get two tickets for the game.
Oh, cool.
That's real.
You know, so I'm trying to stimulate the community, trying to help with, you know, getting seats filled and maybe getting, you know, people excited a little bit. And if they can see that, maybe they're thinking, you know what, maybe I should go buy some tickets, right. You know, because, you know, David is doing some really cool things, and, you know, hopefully they can see that we're trying to do better mm-hmm. offensively, trying to put some points on the board, trying to make things exciting for them to want to come out and watch the game. So, you know, so every home game I've got 9 pairs mm-hmm. of tickets.
Well, that's great, fans. You hear that now.
Yeah, look for that tweet. David Garrard 9.
I'm about to tweet you then.
Do that.
And last thing, you talked about the positive reinforcement for Nate Hughes. How about a little positive reinforcement for our quarterback now? You've gone over 10,000 career passing yards with your effort today, and you've moved into second place in Jaguars franchise history now with 53 touchdown passes. You go past Byron Leftwich, just Mark Brunell ahead of you now. So I know it doesn't mean much now, but still, you know, these big picture things, you know, you are firmly putting yourself further into the history of this franchise.
Yeah, you know, 10, 15 years on the road, maybe I'll be able to look back and smile at some of those things.
You will, man. You keep on doing a good
appreciate
job.
It.
You're working
Thanks,
hard, and you know, I got a lot of faith in you, man.
Appreciate it, man.
Thanks, David. Appreciate
Thanks, guys.
It. That's Jaguars quarterback David Garrard here on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. We'll take a break here. Fans, nobody helps you get ready for game day better than Gate. Snacks, food, drinks, and more, and maybe David Garrard pumping gas. Stop by Gate today. We'll be back with more of the postgame show after this on Jaguars Radio. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan and Marco Coleman talking about the loss today on the home opener, 31-17 to the Jaguars. It was 24-3 at the half, and that was pretty ugly, but a 14-7 second half in the Jaguars' favor made it a little more respectable. Talking with David Garrard moments ago about why he went to the rookie Nate Hughes twice in the end zone, and I know you were wondering, Marco, why he would do it, but yeah, if your star players and your veterans are covered, are you then okay with throwing to the guy that he was kind of open? I mean, he probably should have caught one of those two balls. Would you say that?
I mean, but, you know, Torrey Holt, I got to trust him in traffic. You know what I mean? I understand about, you know, and David was going to make the most conservative play. He's under fire right now. He's going to stay, keep it conservative and not take chances in that type of situation. But I got to be looking for Torrey Holt. I got to be looking for somebody I can depend on who's made this play in this period of time. You know what I mean? I think later, after Mr. Hughes has caught a couple of touchdowns and got a few big plays under his belt, built a little bit of a resume, I'm going to look for him. I would have even looked for Mercedes Lewis before I looked at that guy.
Right.
I just wouldn't have – he's just not the guy I would have, you know, decided to be the one to get the play for.
Now, the end zone wasn't too crowded, especially on that last play. Nate Hughes might have been the only guy in the end zone.
Exactly. They didn't send anybody else in the end zone but him. I was actually on the field on both of those plays. And the only person that took a route to the end zone – was Mr. Nate Hughes.
So you're kind of rebuilding here in the end zone in a game where you need to come back. These are the bumps and bruises you're going to sustain when you talk about a rebuilding year. You're going to have to throw it to a rookie receiver and he's not going to catch it. That kind of stuff is going to happen.
Yeah, but I mean, as a Jack's got to understand too that he doesn't have a lot of time. You know, it's rebuilding. You never know how long rebuilding takes. It's just like when you're building a house, you don't know how often it's going to rain. You can say, okay, it's going to take 18 months, but what if you get 8 months of rain? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, you need to make it happen right now, especially if you have the tools, which they do have the tools to win right now. I do trust that they do, but it's just a matter of getting those people on the field and getting them the ball.
It's time now for the Baptist Health coverage of the game. Baptist Health, Jacksonville Circle of Care, and I think Rasheen Mathis is looking pretty good for this award today. He had a real strong game, caused a fumble, recovered another. You okay with handing this one to Rasheen Mathis?
Yeah, Rasheen Mathis is showing that he is at Pro Bowl form again. You know, whichever wide receiver that he was over, he locked him down, or they made the catch. He made a good, strong, firm tackle. He's making plays. He's that guy. Definitely.
And nothing too deep over the safeties, over the corners via Kurt Warner and Larry Fitzgerald today. The Kurt Warner's longest pass was 22 yards. Mm-hmm. It was all short stuff. Rasheen had a real good game. And Jeff Logman talking before the game about Rasheen Mathis being one of the five or six best Jaguars ever. We had the 15-year alumni thing at the halftime. You think maybe Rasheen Mathis in 5 years or 10 years is out there as well?
Oh, definitely. He'll be out there hanging out. Yeah, if he can continue on the route that he's going, making some plays, he's a feared corner in this league. Nobody wants to continuously go at Rasheed, because if you do, you can count on him getting one or two of them. That's for sure.
What did you make of Kurt Warner's performance today? The numbers say spectacular, but do you really feel like we watched a spectacular effort?
What he did was he took what was given to him. I mean, he realized that they were going to blitz. We showed the blitzes. We came. We didn't get enough hits on him, so it made him feel very comfortable in the pocket. Here's a guy that can't move around well. Last week, San Francisco got hits on him, made him real uncomfortable to where he got scattered around as far as what, you know, just standing in the pocket.
Yep.
Rushing throws that affected the game. But this week we weren't able to do that, and you know, you see the result.
All right, Jaguars fans, vote for your favorite teacher to be the Community First Credit Union Teacher of the Week. Your teacher could win club seats to a Jaguars home game. It's all part of First Down Touchdown Teachers. Visit communityfirstfl.org for the details. We'll come back with the Sexton Summary right here on the Winn-Dixie Postgame Show on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Sam Jordan and Marco Coleman wrapping this one up. The Jaguars lose to the Cardinals 31-17. Real rough effort in the first half. Things got a little bit better in the second half, but just not a pretty day out there. It's time now for the Sexton Summary. And it's brought to you by MetroPCS. Sexton Summary with no signed contracts. MetroPCS lets you unlimit yourself. While trailing 7-0 in the first quarter, the Jaguars would get on the board first with their kicker.
From the hold of Podlish, the snap, the placement, the kick up on the way. It is good. And the Jaguars score on their opening drive, but they miss a golden opportunity on 3rd and 2.
And then down 10-3 early in the second quarter, things would really take a turn for the worse on a Josh Scobie field goal attempt.
It's So here's a 47-yard field goal attempt for Scobie. There's the snap, the placement, pressure coming, and it's blocked. It is blocked, and Roll has got it, heading back up the sideline, trying to make a man miss, and he does. He's at the 35 with blockers in front of him. There he goes. He's down the sideline to the 40, makes a move to the inside. Antrell Roll is going to score a touchdown. He's at the 20. He's at the 15. He's at the 10. The 5, touchdown. Antrell Roll on the blocked field goal.
And the Cardinals with a commanding 24-3 lead at the half. Fast forward now to the third quarter. Kurt Warner would find Larry Fitzgerald for a 22-yard touchdown pass to make it 31-3, seemingly out of reach. The Jags would finally find the end zone with 1:42 left in the third.
Takes the snap. Pressure coming from the outside. Steps to avoid. Fires it for Mercedes. That's up to the 15-yard line. He's at the 10. Makes a man miss. He's at the 5. What effort by Mercedes Lewis! Did he get the touchdown? He did! Touchdown, Jacksonville!
And the late push was on by the Jaguars offense, trailing 31-10 halfway through the fourth quarter. It was time for a personal milestone for one Jaguars receiver.
David on fourth and 10, stands, turns, throws. He's got a man. It's caught. Mike Walker. He's going to the end zone. Touchdown, Jacksonville! He made the grab and spun away from Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie. Mike Walker has his first NFL touchdown.
That would make it 31-17. Further attempts at the end zone by the Jags would prove to be unsuccessful, including two passes to Nate Hughes that the rookie could have caught maybe, just did not bring them down. So the final on the home opener, 31-17, Jaguars lose this one. Hey, fans, here's your chance to win $100,000 when the Jags take on the Colts at Jacksonville Municipal Stadium on December 17th. Stop by a local area Tire Kingdom for full details and to enter for the opportunity to throw for dough. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up next on Jaguars Radio. Back on the Winn-Dixie postgame show, Sam Jordan and Marco Coleman talking about a 31-17 Jaguars loss. Let's name our protector of the game. It's brought to you by Insurance Office of America. Marco, your protector of the game. Who do you got?
Oh, geez, this is probably really, really tough.
It is a little tough.
But you know what, though? Manuel, I thought, had a pretty good game.
Okay.
Yeah, I would say he maintained his position, helped out when he had to for the rookie. And, you know, he played pretty well. I didn't see anything. You know, of course, it's one of the things you had to watch the film. But from what I saw, he looked like he's back to form about 100% now.
All right. Let's check out some NFL scores now. All the 1 o'clock games are final. Atlanta beat Carolina 28-20. Jake Delhomme didn't have as bad a day today. I think he threw one pick, but, you know.
That's great for him.
Detroit was actually up 10-0 on Minnesota.
Really?
In this game. Turns out Vikings won 27-13, but, you know, for the Lions
fans. Did they get
fans,
a heavy dose of AP again? AP was at it again?
Yeah, 92 yards on the day.
Okay, that's really like a walking. Yeah,
you contained him if he ran for 92. Yeah. Cincinnati, a surprise winner over Green Bay, 31-24.
Wow, that is a surprise. Ocho.
Yes, I think he did have a touchdown. I did not see a Lambeau leap, though. Yeah, I think the play had to get
reviewed.
Probably
good. He didn't. You know, we don't, you know, they would have had to bring the ambulance in after that one, I believe.
Oakland beat Kansas City 13-10. How about this one? The Jets now, maybe they're for real. You know, you got a rookie quarterback. You're thinking, okay, this is a rebuilding team as well. Tom Brady and the Patriots go into the Meadowlands. Jets beat them 16-9, only giving up 9 points to Tom Brady.
Yeah, well, hey, man, that's backing up what your coach says.
Didn't want to kiss Bill Belichick's rings.
Yeah, they said, hey, Bill Belichick can kiss our...
I wonder if Rex Ryan, when they had the post-game handshake, put out his ring. Well, I don't know if he had any, maybe a wedding band. Hey, Bill Belichick, check this out.
Or he might have pulled a sucker punch like his dad did, you know, Kevin Gilbride. Mm. Punched him in the jaw before the game.
How about New Orleans? New Orleans Saints appear to be for real. 48 points today on Philadelphia. Now, I know they didn't have McNabb, but still, the Philadelphia defense gave up 48 points today.
Hey, my man Drew Brees, that's my MVP for the year. Yeah. Drew Brees. He's that dude. I really like Drew Brees.
Houston and Tennessee, a huge AFC South matchup for the Jaguars to watch today. And the Texans actually beat the Titans. This was back and forth all day. In Tennessee, the Texans go in and kind of erase the performance against the Jets last week. And they win this one 34-31. Your thoughts on the parity maybe we're seeing now in the AFC South?
Yeah, I mean, that's surprising. That's an upset, you know, I believe. And, you know, my book, I expected more from Tennessee. I guess they got up really high for Pittsburgh being a Super Bowl champs, and now, you know, we're just playing Houston and had to let down. I mean, they're going to have to do better than that.
So we've got both those teams coming up. We're going to Houston next week, and then we're home for Tennessee. Which of those games now looks tough for you? I guess home for Tennessee, but even going to Houston isn't
not at all. We've had some issues going up to Houston. So, I mean, both of these games are going to be tough. We already know Houston's a better team, and we know Tennessee poses a big problem also.
And St. Louis lost to Washington today, 9-7 there, but that's Redskins probably not doing a whole lot this year, and the Rams definitely not doing much
but
of anything
you never know.
This year.
You never know.
All right, we'll take a break here. Fans, visit your local Toyota dealer during Toyota's national clearance event. Toyota is moving forward. More of the Winn-Dixie postgame show coming up next on the WOKV Jaguars Radio Network. Welcome back to the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Sam Jordan, Marco Coleman talking about a Jaguars 31-17 loss to the Cardinals today. We're joined now by linebacker Darryl Smith. Darryl, welcome to the show.
Hey, what's going on?
a little low-key at this point.
Yeah,
huh?
I can understand your feeling.
Yeah. Well, the day probably started out, you're probably a little bit excited to go up against one of the best offenses in the league, kind of a good test for you personally, yeah. You know, being a linebacker, and they were throwing a lot of short passes. But that excitement kind of waned as the day went on, didn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, they explosive offense. They didn't do a whole lot last game. And, you know, we knew they was going to come out and get back to what they was doing. We just had to come up and just make some tackles and just a few plays here and there. And they moved the ball on us. And you know, they were just better today.
Well, you know, this year is the second year. Well, your second defensive coordinator since Mike Smith has left. Mm-hmm. And I know you've had a different scheme in both instances now. Have you guys started to develop a comfort level with the new scheme? I mean, I see you playing the 3-4 and 4-3. You know, yeah. How's that going for everything?
I mean, it's going good, man. The scheme's good, man. You know, when we're in the position to make the plays and the opportunities present itself, we just got to go just make the play. And, you know, you see kind of what happened today when you don't get those plays. And we had the ball on the ground a few times, and then, you know, we end up getting like two. But, you know, every time the ball's on the ground, you know, we got to get it, you know.
There it is.
Can you sum up what the what Mel Tucker and Del Rio's defensive strategy was going into today in a sentence or so? Did they kind of imprint something in your mind, like how you wanted to attack these guys defensively?
I mean, we had a good game plan. I mean, you know, we knew they were going to try to get the run going. We had to come out and just be physical and stop the run and just make them pass the ball. You know, they can do, you know, both. And we just really want to make them one-dimensional and get after the passer and get some pressure on them, make them throw it up and hopefully, you know what I'm saying, get some interceptions. But, you know, they were able to do what they wanted to do, really, basically.
What about yourself? I mean, you during the summer, you spent a lot of time. You didn't play much in the preseason, you know, pretty much until the season started.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, you know, now that you've gotten a couple games in your belt? Do you feel like you've gotten yourself into that groove? You know how the preseason, some good time in the preseason. You can whirl this season feeling like you're in midseason form.
Yeah.
How are you feeling, you know, physically right now yourself?
Feeling pretty good. You know what I'm saying? I still got a lot of work to do. And, you know, as you know, the whole team, really. But you know, we'll see how it go, man, and just ready to get back to work, man, and grind and get a dub.
Yeah, y'all can understand that, man. You'll get it. You guys will get a win.
Is there a stat that the linebackers or yourself that you look at after a game? Do you get the stat sheet? Are you concerned about tackles, or obviously, you know, if you have a sack or something that's huge or an interception? But today, is there something that, you know, Kurt Warner, I don't know if you heard, was 24 of 26. I don't know what it felt like out there, but he actually set
it
a record.
Like,
he actually set a record for a completion percentage, 92%. That's got to frustrate you guys a little bit.
It does. I mean, you go into a game, and especially me, after the game, you want to look and see how many rushing yards they got. And they were able to, you know, run the ball, and, you know, that's not good, you know. And you know, the passing, you just got to get some pressure on them. And when they dump it, we got to go make the tackle.
Yeah. You had six tackles. You did force a fumble today. You know, solid effort by you. But, yeah, you ran up against a real good offense. Anything?
Yeah, the offense is pretty good. But, look, man, you know, I'm going to have to say, man, it's been a bad week for me, too. I coach over at Nice High School. We lost.
Yeah.
Watching the Georgia Tech game, I was hurt. That's what
don't
I'm going to you about the GT,
I know,
man. I mean, you've been watching Georgia Tech, you know, since we left. What
would
you think about it? I mean, right now, Paul Johnson's got a pretty good offensive scheme, but you know, they couldn't pass the ball against Miami. What do you think Tech needs to do to right the ship at this point? You been watching them much, you know?
I've been watching them, man. just get back to doing what they were doing. You know, they got to get the option going. Last couple of weeks here, they, you know, that's the offense. Get that run going, then you can set up everything man. Off of that, you know. And, you know, we always can throw it up to Aiden. He going to go get it. But, I get that run going,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, got to, man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to you getting back, man. The last game at the Clemson game was the letter winners deal, you know what I mean? We'd love to wait for you to go. We'll get you about another 10 years in the league
yeah,
first.
Yeah, man. Yes, sir.
And then we come and hang out in Atlanta, you know, and go to all the Tech games.
Yeah, I'd be there.
Sure.
That's Darryl Smith, linebacker Darryl Smith. Darryl, appreciate you coming by today.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And that's going to do it for the Winn-Dixie postgame show right here. Fans in Jacksonville, stick around. The scoreboard show is next. Give us a call. 355-NFL-1 is that number. Lots to talk about. We're ready for your calls. That does it for me and Marco on the Winn-Dixie postgame show. Thanks for listening, everybody, on Jaguars Radio.
The Winn-Dixie Postgame Show is brought to you by Wachovia, Ticket Exchange, Baptist Health, and by Brooks Rehabilitation. This is the WOKV Jacksonville Jaguars Radio Network.